Welcome to Missionary Echoes, an outreach ministry of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's so good to have you join us today.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
On November 23rd, we enjoyed a celebration of Thanksgiving, with a special Sunday service of music and praise to God, a Thanksgiving feast, and a message preached by Pastor Going. Unfortunately, I can't share any food with you over the airwaves, but we can air the sermon delivered on our Thanksgiving Sunday. So, without further ado, here is Pastor Going with a message that will help us to consider the reasons that we have to praise and worship our Lord.
I'm inviting your attention this morning to the book of Psalms. Psalm 92 is where we will begin. Typically, in a Sunday morning service, I would read a passage and then the message would flow primarily from that passage. But the message this morning is a bit more topical in nature, and so we'll be looking at several different passages of Scripture throughout. But beginning with Psalm 92... in my Bible, the title given to this psalm is Give Thanks to the Lord, and it's a psalm or a song for the Sabbath day. The psalmist wrote this, beginning with verse 1, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep." I wonder how many of you have ever heard the Grumbler song before. I wish we could have flown John Case in this morning, if some of you have ever heard Brother Case. Has anybody heard John Case sing the Grumbler song? Several of you have. In country, town, or city, some people can be found who spend their lives in grumbling at everything around. Oh yes, they always grumble, no matter what we say. For these are chronic grumblers, and they grumble night and day. They grumble in the city, they grumble on the farm, they grumble at their neighbors, they think there is no harm. They grumble when it's raining, they grumble when it's dry, they grumble all the year round, yes, they grumble till they die. And if I had the spunk of a John Case, I'd get down in the aisle for this next verse. They grumble at their husbands, they grumble at their wives, they grumble at their children, it is their way of life. They grumble at their parents, they grumble in the schools, they grumble at their teachers, and they grumble at the rules. Oh, they grumble on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, grumble on Thursday too, grumble on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, grumble the whole week through. Have you ever met a grumbler? Or maybe I should ask, have you ever been a grumbler? And everybody's hand should be probably going up right now. You know, the kind of person who can find something to complain about or to make them unhappy, even when they have life pretty good. I heard about a man who was in a post office. He was approached by an older man who had a postcard in his hand. And the old man said, "Sir, would you address this postcard for me?" And so the man gladly wrote out the address, and then he agreed to write a short message on the postcard, and the older man told him what to write. The younger man even signed it for the fella. And finally, the man doing the writing said to the older man, he said, "Now, is there anything else I can do for you?" And the old man thought about it for a minute. He said, "Yes." He said, "At the end of the note that you just wrote, could you just put P.S., please excuse the sloppy handwriting." Some folks always find something negative to say, and they can't find many reasons to be purely grateful and thankful. But it's convicting to think that God takes a dim view of complaining and grumbling. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul gives us a review of the sins of the children of Israel that plagued them over their years as they wandered in the wilderness. And he mentions their idolatry. He talks about their sexual immorality, the fact that they tested the Lord. And then right in line with all of these other sins, he said they murmured, they grumbled, they complained. And as a result of their murmuring and complaining against God, they were destroyed by the destroyer. That's pretty heavy. But you know, it doesn't take much effort at all to be a complainer, to be a whiner, to be a critic. In fact, for many people, it's just default mode. My soup is too cold. My orange juice has too much pulp. My church is too small. My church is too big. I even had someone complain to me one time, "Your church is too friendly." I think that's a complaint we could wear with a badge of pride. But God calls us to something higher than being complainers and grumblers. I was challenged just last week at Steve George's brother's funeral. The pastor mentioned that his wife had said of him that she never heard him complain. And that kind of struck me as I sat there. That will not be spoken at my funeral, I'm afraid. But God calls us to something higher. He calls us to something more beautiful, something more fulfilling than constant grumbling and complaining and negativity about the facts of life, the circumstances of life. God is calling you to be a man or a woman, a teenager. He's calling you to be a boy or a girl who has a heart, an attitude that is filled with worship and praise and gratitude and lips that are marked by thanksgiving. And I want to ask you this morning, I want you to ask yourself, are you that kind of person? Are you joyful? Are you grateful? Are you filled with praise and worship for the good things that God has done? Are you marked by adoration for his character, for his faithfulness, for his steadfast love? A lot of what I'm going to share this morning comes from some rich material that I've been learning from recently. It's challenged my own heart, and I think it'll help you. I want to share some thoughts with you as we're coming into this Thanksgiving season on the subject of gratitude, the subject of thanksgiving. Now, the first thought that I want to give you, three thoughts I want to share with you this morning. The first thought is this, and that is that gratitude is a command of Scripture. You can't read your Bible without understanding that cultivating a heart and mind, an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving, is a matter of obedience to the Lord. Gratitude is a command of Scripture. Psalm 50, verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 3, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. That's thanksgiving. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Psalm 107, 8 and 9. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul. Can you testify to that? He satisfies the longing soul. He fills the hungry soul with goodness. We are filled with goodness. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever you do, this just kind of sums it all up really nicely. He said, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You, my friend, have been called by God to allow him to transform you, whether you're 8 or 80, and to enable you to be a person who has a heart and an attitude of joy and praise and worship and gratitude and thanksgiving. Somebody put it like this. If you're sitting down to eat, be thankful. If you're getting up to go to bed, be thankful. If you're coming out from under a 2-week cold and cough, if you're paying the bills, if you're driving to work, if you're changing a light bulb, if you're worshiping in a church service, if you're visiting a friend in a hospital, if you're picking up friends from school or practice, be thankful. God has commanded it. It's for your good and it's for his glory. When you have a grateful heart and you're intentional about expressing praise and worship to God, you're living in obedience to him. But not only that, the second thought I want to give to you about gratitude is that the act of expressing thanks and praise to God has a way of ushering you into the very presence of God. That's thought number two. Gratitude is an invitation into God's presence. You know, if you evaluate your prayer life, I think that probably many people would say that we have a tendency when we go to God in prayer, to start right in by telling God about all of our problems. And he does care about our problems. He wants to hear about our problems. But I think that more often than not, when you start into prayer, I'm talking about your daily private prayer life, when you start into prayer focused on yourself and on your personal needs, your problems, if that's your regular habit, your regular pattern of prayer, you might not feel like you get very far in your praying. But when you enter into the place of prayer and you make it the pattern of your prayer life, that you begin by focusing on the character of God and praising him for his faithfulness, his wisdom, his great power, thanking him for his goodness, his mercy, his steadfast love. When you enter in with a spirit of thanksgiving for answers to prayer and ways that he's ministered to you, when you get your mind off of yourself and you get your mind off of your own problems at the very outset of prayer, and you get yourself focused on the God that you're approaching, then it probably won't be very long at all until you begin to sense that God has come near and has begun to touch your heart. Life has a way of getting us out of alignment. And when that happens, our problems begin to get really big. And God seems off in the distance. He doesn't seem like a really active player in the circumstances of life. And the problems loom large, and we can't see a way around our problems, and we can't see a way through them, and we feel our weakness. And we're overwhelmed, and we get stressed by the pressures of life. But I have found in my walk with God that if I will come to the place of prayer, and I will begin to focus my heart and my mind first on God's character, on his greatness, on his power, on his faithfulness, on his tender, loving mercy towards me as he's revealed in Scripture. If I'll begin to just express thanks and praise to God for these things, what I have found is that as my heart begins to lift in praise and adoration and thanksgiving, he begins to realign my focus. And he begins to realign my heart and my perspective until things are in proper alignment again. And many, many times I can testify that the problems that seemed so big to me when I started praying don't seem quite so overwhelming after I've been in the presence of the one whose robe is the light and whose canopy is space. Prayer and thanksgiving has a way of ushering us right into the presence of God himself. One of the enemy's strategies that he uses is to convince us that if God is as great as he says he is, he would have already done something to help you, and that maybe he's not quite as great as he says he is. And to convince us our problems are unique, God wouldn't help with that. And it thrills the enemy and his henchmen to drive us towards discouragement and towards despair. And so we need, as a pattern in our daily prayer lives, to be reminded of the omnipotent power of God Almighty. Every day, you need to align your heart and your mind. I'm talking Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. When you go to the Lord for your daily prayer time, you need to begin by aligning your heart and your mind with the character of God. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving in your heart. Enter into his courts with praise. This idea of entering into prayer in a spirit of praise and worship, it's not new with me. This is the pattern that Jesus set. When he gave us the Lord's Prayer, that model prayer, you remember how he started. He started with praise and adoration. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, if you take just that one little phrase and you break it down word by word, there's enough in that one phrase to keep you busy in prayer and focused on worship for a long, long time. Those words remind us that God is our Father. He's a perfect Father. He's shown us his fatherly love in 1,001 different ways and more. He's our Father, which is in heaven. That means that God is. It reminds us that he is eternal. He has always been. He always will be. There's some material for praise right there. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He's our Father. He's our Father which is. He's our Father which is in heaven. There is a heaven. That's a reason to praise and give thanks. And he's invited us to live in such a way that one day we would join him for all eternity. And what a comfort it is to know that there's a heaven in our times of sorrow. This morning, as I stood there at the bedside with Brother John Klein and his family, Brother John made the statement. He said, I know that heaven is real. And what a blessing that knowledge is to the people of God in times of loss, in times of difficulty, to know that the promises of God, that heaven is real. And I could see a prayer time where you just begin to focus on thanking God and praising him for the reality of heaven, the place that he's prepared for his people. Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father's name is holy. There is no imperfection in him. All that our Heavenly Father does is true and good and right. There's one little phrase of Scripture that is just filled to the brim with material for you to take into your prayer time and begin to give God praise and adoration and thanksgiving for who he is. If you're not spending much time expressing praise and thanksgiving to God in your personal prayer time, you are missing out on one of the most rewarding, encouraging aspects of a prayer time with God. And prayer is something that we have to learn. You remember the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And I remember reading many years ago that classic by Andrew Murray, "With Christ in the School of Prayer." Have you enrolled in the School of Prayer? I'm not even sure if I've made it to preschool yet. There's so much to learn and so much that God wants to teach us about prayer and about communion with Him. But one thought that I want to emphasize to you this morning is that we enter into the place of prayer with thanksgiving, with worship, with gratitude, with praise. And if you don't know how to develop this habit in your personal prayer time, I would suggest to you, I would remind you that God has given us the book of Psalms as a book to guide us in our praying, to guide us in our praise, to guide us in our worship. The Psalms are a prayer guide in our personal worship and prayer, in our corporate worship and prayer. And it's interesting. Scholars tell us that the original Hebrew title for the Psalms is Tehillim, which translates into English as songs of joy, or more concisely as praises. And the book of Psalms in your Bible, it was the songbook of the Hebrew people, the prayer book of the Hebrew people. And it was given to us as a beautiful gift from God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. It was intended that we would use the Psalms as a prayer guide and that we would pray the words of the Psalms back to God. If you don't know, if your vocabulary of praise is limited and you feel like, "Oh, I'm always saying the same things every day when I go to God in prayer and when I'm trying to give Him praise," take a walk through the Psalms with a pad of paper and a pencil or a pen and begin to write down the various ways that the psalmists praise God and build yourself a library. And I'm going to tell you, if you will do that, you've got a whole book. It'll open up a whole new world of prayer for you. It will. I'm talking to you from personal testimony. Now, I did this. I think it was the beginning of 2024, I moved through the entire book of Psalms, praying through each of the Psalms. Many times I would pray one in the morning, one in the afternoon, one in the evening. And it was one of the richest experiences of prayer that I've ever had in my life. Now, if you're going to do something like that, be ready to ride the roller coaster of emotions with the psalmist, because I'm going to tell you, it gets crazy. They're up one day and down the next and in and out and up and down, and you ride it right along with them. But there's something there, the psalmist, under the inspiration of the Spirit, with richness expressed their emotions to God. And to some degree or another, we all have emotional highs, emotional lows, and somewhere in between. And there's something in the Psalms for everybody to guide you in your prayer, in your praise, in your thanksgiving. Jesus used the Psalms in His prayer life. Even as He was coming down to his final moments before His death on the cross, he was praying the words of the Psalms to His heavenly Father from the cross. Some of the words that He spoke, He was quoting the psalmists. God comes close to those who worship Him for who He is and praise Him and thank Him for all that He's done. It's the biblical pattern of prayer that we would enter the place of prayer, that we would start our prayer times, whether individually or corporately, not by asking God for things, but by praising God, by expressing our thanksgiving to Him. Now, eventually, we get around to asking Him for some things. Our daily bread, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer. He showed us how to pray for our daily needs. But we begin with praise. Psalm 95:2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise to him with psalms. Psalm 100, 4 and 5, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Hallelujah.
I could never praise him enough. For the cross of Calvary, I could never thank him enough. For salvation full and free, I could never do anything to deserve such perfect love. Oh, for everything he's done, I could never praise him enough.
I could never praise
cross of Calvary.
I can never thank him enough
for salvation full and free.
I can never do anything
to deserve such perfect love. Oh, for everything he's done, I can never praise him enough. Oh, for never praise him enough. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son.
That was Tim and Esther Dotson with a medley of praise. If this program spoke to your heart and you'd like to talk with someone about your relationship with God, give us a call at 717-273-3690 or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. We would be happy to talk with you on the phone or schedule a time when we could meet with you in person. Now, we'd love to have you join us at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon. Sunday school begins at 9:30, worship at 10:30, and 6 o'clock this evening. We also have a prayer and praise service on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock p.m. Now this evening at 6 p.m., Penview Bible Institute Choir and Ensemble is scheduled to share a service of special music. Then on December 13th and 14th, our annual Christmas drama titled White as Snow will be shared in our Family Life Center. For more information about this and other upcoming events, visit our website at lebanongmc.com, where you can also watch our services live online. You can also follow us on social media. Look for Lebanon God's Missionary Church on Facebook or Instagram. I hope you can join us again next week for another edition of Missionary Echoes. I am Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing.